This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. The numbers to call if you want to reach us are 434-1790 and via WhatsApp 266-4862. Good afternoon, caller.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am. I just wanted to replay earlier to a couple callers earlier pertaining to the issues surrounding the incoming conference at George Street Auditorium.
Yes.
In respect of the two people that are running for the post of president. And I also want to replay to a gentleman that is by the name of Alvin, the visually impaired chap. I want to let them know, okay, that we have a president that is fierce, strong, determined to make better for the Democratic Labour Party. And as the question was asked some time ago, what do you choose? Where do you want to see a party of this magnitude that has done so much for all of Barbados, even throughout the realms of the Caribbean? Okay, where do you want to see them go in the other half of this century? That is a question for all on sundry. And they want to further let those know that have a lot to say, a lot of the banter that is going on, right, to rest assured that President Verla de Pisa is more than able to do what she needs to have done here at George Street, here in the Democratic Labour Party. Okay? She is not by any stretch of the imagination soft. She's not by any stretch of the imagination without political stamina.
All right. Well,
I just want people to know that. Mm-hmm. Do have a good afternoon.
All right, you have a good afternoon, too. We will tell if the rest of the members feel the same way. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon. Am I on air?
You certainly are.
Thank you, ma'am. I have heard, I have been hearing some people speaking about the outgoing representative for St. George North, Glenn Clark.
Yes.
I am not interested in what those people would have said, and they may have their agenda and so on. And it is all what people do not understand or think of is not because they did not help you personally and so on that would make people get vexed and so on. I have heard a lot of people before saying, man, I'm voting for boy, nobody ain't do nothing for me at all. But those persons never understand that they're the white polyclinic. However, ma'am, I want to say, in my lifetime, Glenn Clark has done more in St. George North than any other politician that I know. And I can remember as far back as Freddie Miller, who was once known, it was the, who had the portfolio, the Ministry of Social Services. This is the father of Billy Miller.
Yes.
Right? And I'm saying Glenn Clark has done more for the infrastructure of St. George North than any other politician that have ever represented this constituency.
Okay. Well, he's had a long time to do it too.
But I would tell you, he had 10 years. It didn't so long, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 years when he didn't have a chance to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know that 10 years. He did only a parliamentarian.
Yes.
But he ain't had a chance to do nothing. So it is not so long, ma'am.
Okay.
Because when you take away 10 from 26, you only left with 16.
That's still quite a while, though.
Well, I agree it's quite a while. But I am telling you, within the 16... he has done more. That makes it better or more astonishing. Mm-hmm. He has done more for St. George North than
so what
any
do you think,
other politician.
Go ahead. What do you think about the by-election then?
I still believe that the by-election will go in way of the present party that is leading this country. I I think so.
And you'll be satisfied with that?
Obviously, I would be. Not because I am a member of the Barbados Labour Party, but how I see the situation, I think that it would be that way. That's okay. My basic view. I mean, other people may have got other views and so on, but that is the view that I, where I am seeing it, you know?
Okay.
One of the things that I would want to find out, I mean, you, I heard you say that you are out training. This is your first day out of training.
Yes, my training wheels are off today.
Right, I heard you say that, but I'm wondering if, and I believe it might be good, usually when there are elections, the calling program is being suspended for a period. I'm wondering if it is being thought of that it would have been good to suspend the calling program for this period because of the by-election.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
No,
but you would have to ask powers higher than me.
But anyway, I guess that they're hearing it too.
Yes, they'll hear you. So you will find out soon enough.
I guess that they're hearing it.
Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. I want to get this issue of the renaming of the Cape Hill campus.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard comments about it should be named after Mr. Barrow and all that. I do not believe, in fact, I strongly object to the Cape Hill campus of the University of West Indies being renamed after anybody.
Okay.
You know, the Cape Hill campus is just one campus of the University of the West Indies. And it is paid for, the University of the West Indies is basically owned by the contributing governments.
That's correct.
Contributing countries, right?
Yes.
And I think that the people of these countries, if the university should go this route of renaming any campus, the people of this of these countries should determine whether they should or should not. The other thing is that the thousands of graduates of the University of the West Indies Cape Hill campus and the present students should be the ones who should have the first say in whether that campus be renamed. Now, I go a little further. All of the major universities throughout the world that carry the names of anyone, McGill, Harvard, etc., were named long before those universities had gained any great prominence. I've never heard anybody, despite the number of outstanding economists who passed through the London School of Economics, I've never heard anybody talk about renaming the London School of Economics after one of those persons. And I think that the university, the Cape Hill campus of the University of the West Indies, has a name and a reputation. And I do not believe that the graduates of that campus, that 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, and they say, I graduated from the Cape Hill campus of the University of the West Indies, some person who had just come along and probably never even heard the name, would say, what was that? Now, I am of the age where I went to a private secondary school in this country called the Modern High School. I don't know if you know of the existence of such a school.
I do.
Well, fortunately for you. But there are several people now that when I say I went to the Modern, they want to know, what was that?
Yeah.
Because the school no longer exists and the name is no longer in the minds of younger generations.
Well, there are younger people that don't know about Louis Lynch Secondary either or Robots.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that you don't just change the name just to honor somebody. And I believe strongly that the person that the late Oinaser would not want anybody to name the university at the Cape Hill campus after him. The late Right Excellent Errol Barrow would not want anybody to name the Cape Hill campus of university after him. If you want to name a building our faculty or create a chair or something like that within the university in honor of someone, I have no difficulty with that.
Yeah, the chair is a good idea as well.
Right, but to rename the entire campus after a person, I do not think would be a wise decision. Okay. And I am a graduate of the Mona campus and the KFL campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do not, I'm no way in favor of touching the names of those institutions. Because next thing somebody want to rename the Mona campus after Michael Manley or Bustamante or somebody else, then somebody want to rename the St. Augustine campus after Art Williams or somebody.
Yes.
And the whole integrity, in my view, and status of the University of the West is diminished.
I
do not think that there should be any name change for the KFL campus of the University of West Indies. You want to name something there in honor of the person, so be it. But if anyone is thinking of changing the name of that campus, it should be put, I think it is important enough that the people of the region who contribute and who pay for the existence of those campuses should be the ones to determine that.
Okay,
and I don't think that it should be named after anybody, and it states so. I don't care who is recommending it. That is my view.
Well, there's a system for those kind of things within the university as well, and the Prime Minister also made that clear, that it is a decision for the UWA. So hopefully they're hearing these concerns that are being raised. I am sure that other people across the region may have opinions as well. So let's see what will happen.
I don't think the Council of the University of SD should make that decision at all.
Mm.
I think that it goes way beyond them.
Well,
right?
There are structures in place for that. So I can't really say if anything beyond that will happen. I don't even know if it will reach that level. This is all speculation at this point. But thank you for your perspective.
Okay,
and we'll go to another call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Me?
Yes.
Hi. Yes, please. I'm just calling in regards to the CSC results that came out. I'm a very concerned parent. Reason being, not just saying about my child, but as for our entire body, these parents were looking out for these results and everything. And you have children that you know was doing an exceptional job, and not just saying it, but the teachers were giving you feedback and they follow up, and I mean, they were really prepared. And then some of these students yesterday evening, after the delay from 5 o'clock, waiting until 8 o'clock, and they saw some of the results. When these group chats came out, some of these children were so disappointed because they were like, what's really going on here? What's happening? And a lot of parents were quite concerned. And for me, I'm wondering where can we turn? Who can we ask a question to? Because you have an entire student body that's like just down in the dumps right now, and just extremely frustrated and annoyed, because a lot of the results that came back doesn't seem fair. And we're wondering, as a student body, as a parent body,
what you can do.
Give me, yeah, what we can do.
Well, as I said to a previous caller, I think you do need to reach out to CXC. There is a petition. I gather there's more than one petition that's out there. The schools as well, and the Ministry of Education. You also have the option on an individual basis of querying grades. But if this is something that is a significant problem, and it seems to be, and is one that is happening across, that people are experiencing across the region, I think you certainly have solid ground to stand on if you want to query this and ask that these marks be revised.
I would like to have my son grades reviewed. I mean, that entire chat last night of 162 fifth form students. If you had maybe 10 parents in that chat that was like over the moon, you had a lot, because the children, even the teachers, were giving you feedback before, but then even the teachers themselves were like, "What was something? It seemed really off." And the students are asking, and I'm willing to follow up for my son. I'm willing to follow up for my son, but I just wanted some guidance as to, you know, what steps we can take, where I can go personally to follow up to find out what would have happened here. I mean, yes, he got back twos and everything, but he's not the only person in the class that got twos that figured he would have gotten a one, but I'm very happy for his, you know, his grades that he received. But other parents, I know the children were doing exceptionally well. We hold these chats, we go through, parents follow up, you know, every day, even with SBAs, you make sure the children SBAs went in on time. The teachers call back and said, well, thank you for this. This was excellent. And then now the grades are a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a petition that is on change.org that parents have been signing. And I do think that you should reach out to the ministry. As many parents are concerned should reach out, and also to CXE, directly to CXE, because this is a serious matter that needs to be taken seriously. And unless people say what they need to say, make their voices heard, it will not be taken seriously. So I hope that you and other concerned parents, whether it is individually or collectively through some kind of organization, maybe it's the PTA, maybe it is some other group that you may have, the same group chat, class chats, whatever, that you do make an effort to have this rectified. At least to get an explanation if there is not a willingness to rectify.
As to what happened there, I mean, in that chat last night, some information came out which, you know, had me quite alarmed as to why this would have happened. But
what is that? What kind of information?
Well, in one of the clips that we receive, you know, there's this circulation going around that due to the fact that the children didn't do a long paper, you know, it was just SBAs, and then they just did the multiple choice, that they were graded a lot harder and that the grades were technically dropped, or basically that's what it,
so they recalibrated the grades.
Yes,
this is what
they were, yeah, that they were graded differently because they didn't do the long paper, and also that obviously if you would have normally gotten a one, mm-hmm, with the results that you got, you were graded with a two. If you got a two, basically you were down to a three. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair to the students that you did quite well, and because of COVID and because of all of this restructuring, that the children have to suffer for that. I don't think that is fair, because at the end of the day, these children are going out into the world now to either go to, you know, UE, go to this place, go to Polytechnic, they go over to other, they look to go into jobs. Mm-hmm. So when you are going to disadvantage a child because of COVID-19 and the restrictions and everything and the different things you had to put in place, you're going to put these children at a disadvantage. A workplace is not looking at, well, because of COVID-19, this is what you got. They're looking at what you got. Mm. And then persons, obviously, that would have gotten maybe a little bit better than you, you know, would be at first to get through the door and everything. So they have to look at it in a long-term view. They can't just look at it as, you know, just because of COVID-19, because eventually COVID-19 will go back wherever it came from.
But I saw
and
in the paper that
have to move on.
I saw in the paper that the grades are consistent with previous years. I know educational institutions are often concerned with grade inflation as well, and multiple choice can often be a way that you get grade inflation depending on how multiple choice examinations are constructed. So I think, although I understand and I share the concern of parents and students, I think the other side is also that CXE may have been trying to protect quality and to have consistency over the years in terms of their results. They don't want to have a year where the marks are exceptionally high and they cannot account for that apart from COVID as well. So perhaps in the effort to do that correction, they may have overcorrected. But I think you should go and rally the people who you need to get to sign this petition, to write to CXE, to contact the Ministry of Education, your school, to make people miserable until, not in a bad way, until you have your voice heard and this situation is resolved appropriately.
Okay, thank you so much for your
advice. I thank you for your call. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon. May I call you Christina?
Yes, go ahead. I'm Christina.
Yes, Christina. I was listening to your opening comment, and I was particularly interested in the whole question of the examples you gave of women leaders took over in precarious situations in a party.
Yes.
And then the whole question of how the men were very silent and what have you. And then at a particular point in time, you know, like what is happening in the DLP now. And I was just wondering if you could further speak about that in terms of women's leadership and why this phenomenon.
Sure. So some people who analyze this kind of thing talk about gender. So if we understand gender as not just being male and female, but the roles we attribute to men and women. And because of this, we may have certain views about women as caretakers, carrying out caring roles and supportive roles, often in supportive roles. So there are sometimes when there is some kind of support that is needed after some kind of tragedy or some crisis situation. And it is at this point that we find around the world, not just in the Caribbean. I gave the example in the UK of Theresa May. You find these kinds of leaders emerging. There are some that also use the example of Mary Robinson. I believe that was in Ireland, of being this kind of leader, you know, to bring some level of conciliation across the country, in her case, perhaps in this case, inside of the political party. So that's one perspective. The other perspective is that sometimes the women are used as these fall people. So while you're organizing yourself and getting your act together, you need to have somebody to hold that space. And this is an opportunity for these individuals, sometimes they're women, quite often they're women, to either prove themselves in a very difficult situation or step aside. And I think sometimes it is quite difficult in some of these situations for the individuals to prove themselves. So in the case of Theresa May that I mentioned from the UK, she was in such a difficult situation with these Brexit negotiations with the EU. It seemed as if she was doomed from the beginning. And after that, she was pretty much removed, and we now have a new prime minister in the United Kingdom in the form of Boris Johnson. And these things happen. I think that I am not blaming women, nor am I even blaming political parties or systems or anything, but I'm thinking that we need to look at some of these patterns and to be conscious of the type of leadership roles that we are stepping into to ensure that we are not used and that our worth is valued for what it is at the point in time. And I think in this case, from some of the calls today, there certainly are people who appear to value Ms. DePisa's leadership of the Democratic Labour Party. There are others that don't. And this is the usual thing in any kind of democratic process where some people are for you and some are against.
Yeah, and thanks for that explanation, because I've been watching it and I was thinking the same thing, because I was saying, you know, people use the excuse that the men were bruised after the last election, but we saw have been Verla. She was part of the machinery of the party, so she would have also been bruised.
Yes.
And so I don't accept that. One of the things that I, in terms of the other things that you mentioned, I was wondering if what we accept from women and what we accept from men in terms of leadership, because if if the women had stayed back, say a man was in charge of the party at the moment, and now that things, everybody probably went through a little bit of healing and can come forward. And if women were coming forward to take that position, would they be as accepting? People would be accepting as how they're accepting, like Mr. Pilgrim in this case.
Well, I hope they would, but I can't say that for a fact. I do hope that we are now at a place, especially after having a woman as prime minister, we are at the kind of place where our views are starting to change. But I can't guarantee that they have in all cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, but the other question that I want to bring to the table is that in most political parties at the party level, more women come out to vote than men. Do you think that this will have an impact on who wins the election?
Wins which election? You mean in the DLP?
Yeah, in the DLP. Yeah.
I really don't know enough about the internal workings of the DLP to say, but we will find out very soon, won't we? This is happening over the weekend, so soon enough, we will know. And hopefully, others who have some insider knowledge can come back and tell us a little bit about that if they wish to.
Okay, thank you. There's so many other things that we could talk about in terms of Barbados first, things that we can should be discussed. You know, you just spoke about the CIC and the type of results. But one of the things I remember reading during COVID is that a lot of institutions, educational institutions, no matter the level, students are always at a disadvantage during a time of crisis or natural disasters. And some of them qualifications are even questioned of that year. So the year of 2020, a lot of graduates all over the world, people would not be accepting of their certification very readily. And so I think that what is happening to CXC at the moment, and I dare say probably other tertiary institutions in Barbados and the region, is that's one of the challenges that we will be facing. Because you mentioned something there just now about what is the educational term when they try not to have a
grade inflation.
Grade inflation.
Yes.
Certifying bodies are concerned about that, it will be reflected in how they probably do their marking and their assessments and so on. So, like, one is challenges that we in the region face, and I'm going to say Barbados.
And I'm going to have to cut you short because we need to go to a break. But go ahead.
No, if they will come out and say what is their challenge, then we will have to be speculating.
So
that's
true.
Just, you know, information to the public about decisions that you're making.
So we need more information beforehand so that we understand how this is happening and people are not caught off guard, as is the current situation. Right?
Yeah. We need information.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Christina Hines.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm calling about the whole CSC situation. Let me explain my daughter's predicament. Okay, she's a student of the Combermere School, and when she got her grade yesterday, she got the one that was really alarming was English B. Now, she would have done English A prior to this year and got a 1. And that SBA then, she was told, would be carried on for English B. So she only had to go and do the written part of the examination, which she did. And yesterday, the grade did not reflect that she went to the school and sat the paper because she got an incomplete grade. How can that be if you had the SBA and you actually completed the written part? How then could you have an incomplete grade? And she was not the only student that was given incomplete grades. And then the SBAs were very high to start with. The teachers,
and the SBAs were submitted? The teachers submitted the SBAs?
Correct. Because when we contacted the teacher last night, first thing she asked, she didn't even ask about the SBA. She said, did you go to the to school and sit the written part? And she said yes. So she advised her to look for the receipt that they give you to prove that you were present, contact the school, and also go to the ministry. And she said, do not delay. Go.
This is an urgent matter. Students need to take action on this. Their parents need to take action on this swiftly.
Correct.
If there are these inconsistencies, you need to address them.
I also spoke with the IT teacher who assured me not to worry about her before the night before the exam. Do not worry about her. Her SBA is very high. All she needs to do is sit the written part and get her 1. He was that confident in his students. And she got a 2.
Yeah. You definitely need to take action on this.
That's why I called the program to give guidance to the other parents. They need to move. Who hasn't moved as yet, if they can get to the schools, because I went to the ministry because she sat some private and some with the school. And I went to the ministry first thing this morning, and they could have only dealt with the one that she did private. The one she sat with the school, they guided me to the school. They said I have to go to the school, and the school would deal with that part. So when I left the ministry, there is a form that I got from the Ministry of Education that is a form that requesting the review, you have to fill that out. You have to get it from the ministry. And then there's a fee, a $60 fee, for every subject that you're having reviewed.
And you see, this is my concern, because if there are people that are concerned about multiple subjects and they may not have the means to address this, and this is a if this is indeed a system-wide problem, there are some people who may end up being disadvantaged because they were not able to individually deal with this. So I think it is good to take this individual response, but I think it may also be useful if it can be identified as a problem that is affecting a lot of students across Barbados and across the region to have some kind of review for as many of these concerns and grades as possible, so that the onus and the financial responsibility is not placed on the individual students and their parents and so on. That's just
correct.
My concern in this
situation. Then you had to go, no, from the minute they give you the form, you have to fill that. And then you have to go either to the bank that you bank with, or the post office, because you either have to get a money order or the bank draft.
Okay.
To reflect the amount of subjects that you're paying for. In addition to that, $60 for every money order, you have to pay an additional $7.50 duty.
This is concerning. Thank you for sharing that information with us. Is there something else?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to the school and I gave the subjects that I wanted to have reviewed, well, you don't have to pay to have the complete grades reviewed, but the other subjects that you want reviewed, you have to then do the same procedure and then take back the money orders to the school, and they will fax them to CSC. And also you need to take the form and the money order to CSC, and you have to do it within this week. You only have so much time. The parents need to get up and get to the schools and get to the ministry. And on the form at the back, it states that if the grade improves, you will get a refund.
But if not, they keep your
money. If it remains the same or it's lower, then you're not getting about the same.
That's generally
so
the case,
really,
with examinations.
I don't think it is fair, even with the kid. My daughter has friends who did CAPE, and first day their results came out on time for 5, and they had the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is really unfair. It is not only CSC, it is CAPE, and it's not only that the grades are low.
It's the same examination body, though.
That if you go in with the FBA mark that is high, and that is half your grade, how then can you fail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could understand if they even get 3s. Mm-hmm. Some people in the petition said they got 6. And I mean, the same thing echoing all the time, because my daughter would have gone online. She did the past papers. They were marked. And the evening before CSC, on their website, went through the papers. And on the next day on the exam, same questions.
Mm-hmm.
Same questions. So if they review them the day before, and you go and butt the same questions, so you know that you know what you're dealing with, how can you fail? It is something is fundamentally wrong with it.
Okay.
Thank you for your time, ma'am.
And thank you for sharing that information with us. It's very useful. I hope parents out there are hearing this information. Those who are hearing this are passing it on to their friends, neighbors, relatives, so that they can have this addressed for the students who are affected. Thank you for your call. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to be on your own today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I might want to make reference to a discussion you had with an earlier call about 7 callers before, who was talking about same-sex unions.
Right.
And I must say that you have been able, with your understanding, to knock the wind out of his ears.
Oh, okay.
Because he has always been speaking and writing against the LGBT. And today you had him floored, and the only thing he could have spoken about then was to go in to villain your property. But this organization, this community, are people that are living together like heterosexuals.
Yes.
And if if heterosexuals living outside of marriages, if living outside of marriage, can get the same rights as if they went and was in a marriage situation, why are we calling for the delay or the absenteeism of making these unions legal? Because these are people's lives. It has nothing to do with whether they're same sex or otherwise. They're human beings and they have rights. They want the rights of togetherness, that in case anything happens with a partner, you can legally claim the rights of that relationship.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, the heterosexual, the married person, or the single, or the heterosexual relationship that is not a marriage, they don't have to sign a will or petition anything to get what is left after a person deceases. So I like the way you handle it, you know what I mean?
Thank you.
And last year we say, the longer the government delays making this relationship legal, discrimination will continue to pervade. So I want to make known that I have always stood on the side of the LGBT, and I want to see they get the rights that they are entitled to as persons in relationship, because I know that these relationships are stronger than the heterosexual relationship. Heterosexual relationships go by the wayside just by a little quarrel and a misunderstanding. And the claim is always there about unretrievable broken down. It doesn't happen that way in relationships where people are same sex. They are strong and they're firm in their love for each other. And that is what I really want to say today after I hear you talking to that gentleman.
Okay.
And I hope he doesn't come back.
Well, I would not say so. We welcome our callers, so we don't discourage people from calling. Let's take another call. Thank you for yours. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
To you.
Good afternoon.
To you. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes.
Right. My name is Breverton Lewis. I'm calling today and having this privilege of speaking to you first, your first day out by yourself. I am a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And one of the things that Jesus Christ has said, if my word abide in you, you are my disciple indeed. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Brass Tacks on Sunday when I heard one of the priests there said that when he pray on the sacrament, it becomes the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, body and soul. Mm-hmm. I want to say that what the Bible has said about this thing is that when you take the sacrament or you're involved or engaged in that process, you must first examine yourselves. The Bible says, let every man examine himself. And therefore, what it is for us to do is to examine ourselves and see if we are abiding in our Creator's word.
This is with respect to what?
Pardon me?
This is with respect to what? What are you referring to?
Generally speaking, ma'am.
Okay.
And therefore, whatever we do, even thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or thou shalt not, you know, whatever you want to put it to. Even if it says, thou shalt not take false witness mm-hmm. against another person. So therefore, whatever you do, you must recognize that the word of God has to abide in you.
All right.
Word of God is abiding in you. You should not have a problem with making the correct decision, because you will not be making a horizontal decision. You will be making a vertical position, and therefore you will be able to know whether it's right or wrong.
Okay. Well, thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, let me make a quick statement here on a matter that has arisen just today. Some time ago, it was announced that Barbados would be going republic by, I think, the end of next year.
Yes.
Let me say this, that I believe that it is absolutely essential for an emergent nation like Barbados to evolve into a republic state. There's no doubt about it. I believe that Barbados should become a republic as a matter of its economic and social and philosophical evolution. Now, I heard today a comment attributed to a member of parliament in England saying that Barbados's quest for Republican status was due to pressure coming from China.
I heard that now, too. And I think find it really disappointing. But go
exactly.
Ahead.
No, I think that Barbados needs to be careful to not be drawn into a geopolitical struggle, because there is a huge, I don't know if you realize it, there's a huge geopolitical struggle ongoing now in the world. There's a struggle for global dominance, right? And it's a struggle between people from other races. The Asians and the Eurocentrics are in this struggle. Small countries like Barbados, right, who want to preserve their and to improve on their sovereignty, need to be careful as to how they go about doing that. Now, Barbados is going republic. I see that that requires Barbados now to emphatically put in place a grand strategy plan for making Barbados invulnerable as far as possible to external shocks, because there will be a geopolitical backlash on Barbados in the future.
Wait, is that possible, though, as a small state?
As far as is possible, because I believe that Barbados basically needs to be able to shore up its, for example, restructure its economy away from tourism.
Well, no, you've had the last word, because we are just about out of time. I'm glad you were able to get your call in, and sorry you couldn't talk to us some more. I'm Christina Hines. Have a wonderful afternoon. This was Down to Brass Tacks. I would like to thank you all for welcoming me, and thank you, Mr. Johnson, for helping me along the way. Have a good afternoon, everyone.